Thank you, Jan. I like to start with a deep breath. Gets me centered. My name is Mike. And what am I? You tell me. I am whatever you think I am. I'm a non-believer. I don't believe anything, really. I may have some working theories about how the world works, or society, or the universe, or whatever, but I don't cling to them. I have to have working theories because I have to do things like go to the grocery store and stuff like that. So, I'll go with physics. I'll go with, these things. But a lot of society's trappings, no, I do not go with. So, three shits. That comes later. So I'll start with what it was like. Basically, I was a sensitive kid. I'm gonna ramrod through this. And I was adopted, which I find it interesting that a lot of folks find that to be problematic because you don't know what your roots are and things like that. And my thought is just like, okay, why do I need to know what my roots are? Of what benefit is that to me? I still can't figure it out. All I consider it is baggage. So I'm free as a bird, flying and creating my own reality. It also means that I'm not related to the people that I grew up with, which, again, they're highly uninteresting. So I think that's a good thing. I love them dearly, but some of them are dead, and some of them I don't talk to. Well, really, just one, which is my dad. But the rest of them are all okay. But I grew up in a family that, there was no drugs, alcohol, aside from what was in the closet that I, took and added water to, and et cetera, But I think my dad was sort of like, I used to call him like a rageaholic. He was emotionally immature. And he, I think, is just afraid. And I think he's lived his life that way. And that's unfortunate. I think he's also a bit of a narcissist, but enough about him. This is about me. So I started drinking and smoking dope later than almost everybody I knew. I mean, I had some friends that were sort of the geeky friends who I kind of hung out with, and we were silly and humorous and Monty Python and Mad Magazine and all that kind of stuff. And then, my cousins and my sister and a few other folks were like, they were smoking a bit of the old dope. And I was like, I want to be a good boy. And I think it was mainly because I wanted to please my mom or something, not my dad. I think there was no pleasing him. So at any rate, I just thought it was a good thing to be a good boy. And that's what I wanted to do. But then at like 15, I guess I was, yeah, almost 16. No, almost 15, I guess. Anyway, somewhere around there. I was hanging out with my cousins. They were smoking dope and stuff like that, and I wasn't participating. And then one day, I think my dad pissed me off or something, and I said, well, I didn't actually say this. I'm recreating this for dramatic effect. I think I'll go to the dark side, and but you get the idea. That's sort of what happened. I felt within myself that, I guess being good isn't getting me anything, so might as well, what's the funny thing is how we do create reality when we remember back, and we kind of remember it in a way that we sort of want to sometimes. And I don't know, one of the things that I've learned, and it's just been recently, is that everybody's version of reality is different. Well, I mean, I knew that, but I used to think that there was truth with a capital T, like this thing is true. And I don't know whether it's like material things are there or just simply like, no, you said this. Okay, maybe you said this, but what you meant by saying this and what I understood by saying this could be two very different things. And I think that's the root of just about all the troubles in the world and relationships and things like that. Anyway, dope. Smoking it. I wasn't a drinker, really. There wasn't any, you know, I mean, I did that a little bit because that's sort of what you do, but I was a pothead and I loved it. And I wanted to turn people onto it like it was, you know, a new fucking band or something, you know, oh, you got to check these guys out. And that's kind of what was happening. well, something happened when I started doing that kind of stuff is I started taking naps in the afternoon and my grades started going downhill a little bit. It was enough so that I could salvage it to get into a college. So I did that. And college was, you know, that's where the drinking really, you know, took over. And, oh yeah, there was a lot of tripping. Yeah, some good experiences there that have helped me from a, you know, epistemological, you know, standpoint, later on in life. So, like one time, I was walking along and I all of a sudden became completely untethered from space and time and identity. So, all I saw was the visual of me walking and this stuff. I didn't know where I was in the universe. I didn't know or what anything was to be. And I didn't know who I was. And I didn't know the time, the year, or anything like that. And it was fucking amazing. so I didn't think that like that's the natural way because there's no way to know that. And I have five senses, which are like pinpricks in a shoebox looking at the world. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't fucking, you know, whatever. But that there are different ways of seeing things. That's all I needed to know. And I try and keep that in mind now that there are different ways of seeing things. And so to move back to that truth thing, I think that I've learned that everybody's truth is valid, even if they're insane or if they're schizophrenic or hearing voices or whatever. It's not that the voices aren't there or they are there. They're there for them. So they're there. It's just that simple. And the idea of whether they really are or not, or let's try and get to this, like what's exactly happening here. That's fucking exhausting and it's fruitless. There's no point in it. I just accept that people have the reality that they are having and I have mine. And I try to communicate so that maybe we can understand each other. A little bit of active listening, you know, where I'm hearing what you say and then saying back to you. So if I understand you correctly, you decided that da-da-da-da because you felt da-da-da-da. And they would say either, yes, that's correct, or no, not quite. And then, you know, boom, 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 boom. That's fucking exhausting too. And in a relationship, that's something that can be helpful, which is why I don't like to have relationships. So I don't want to have any relationships aside from the ones that I have with you guys, which is human beings. You're just sitting here on this big blue spinning ball, supposedly. And, you know, the human condition is what we're all suffering from. And so if we can make a connection now and again and have a deep conversation over a cup of coffee, and perhaps a hug, that's really all I need. A lot of drugs and alcohol was going on. And then I think I lost a job and I had a girlfriend at the time and she said, why don't you go to AA? And I said, okay. And that was back in 83, I think. So I was 21. So my drinking career wasn't that long. You know, so I went to AA and it was like, okay, I see. This is okay. Yep. Cool. I got some laps in me to run. So, and I fucked up college and then I fucked up another college and then I joined the Navy and I got kicked out of the Navy for drinking, in 9 months. I'm kind of proud of that. And In the Navy, I was taking antabuse and going to AA meetings and stuff like that. And so I got reacquainted. And it kind of became this sort of thing of like, well, just a matter of time when I, claim my seat and decide to stay in it. So, I'm hoping you can't hear that airplane that's flying over. That would be a good thing. So, doesn't happen that often. I started going to AA and I was fucking miserable. I went to a Halloween dance and it was just like, fuck, these people are having fun. This is fucking, don't they know that I'm an artist and a genius and a this and a that, and nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Supposedly. Anyway, I went to AA, and it didn't take at first because I met a girl and I didn't know how to be with a girl without being not myself. So that lasted about 6 months, and apparently I offended her or my drinking or something like that, or maybe a combination of all that. And so that was the point where I was sad enough that I got to where, like, okay, everything I touch has turned to shit. The best I can seem to muster at this point in time is mediocre. And as I look forward, I don't see that changing a whole lot, but maybe going downhill, maybe slowly, maybe quickly. But I got to get off this merry-go-round at some point. And the logic hit me that it's like, might as well be now. So I jumped back into AA. This time I did the immersion version. And so, I was hanging out with the people. We were going to eat after the meeting or before the meeting. We were playing music. And I went. There's this like clubhouse type of thing in this church. It wasn't a clubhouse exactly, but they had a shit ton of meetings. And so I was just hanging out there and it was great. It was halcyon days and everything like that. And I was hanging out with the winners and I read all the literature and I was just very hungry. It was the kind of thing where and I didn't realize this till later, but the way that I'm wired is when I get into something, I really fucking get into it. Whether it's an interest, it's books, it's movies, it's this, it's that on a certain subject. Yeah, that's what I do. So I got into AA that way, which is not a bad thing. And about a year in, or I don't know, maybe 6 months in, I met this girl and we were like, hey, let's be friends and figure out how to be friends with a person of the opposite sex. And because I didn't know that, my idea was either I want you or I'm not interested in you. So this was a new paradigm. And within a few months, we sort of fell in love. And within a year or two, we got married and had kids and this, that, and the other thing. Long stuff after that. So the thing that I did also with this immersion thing is I worked the steps. And I thought that I had to have a God because that's kind of what it said in the steps and all that. And I, was an agnostic atheist, a seeker, as they say. And I'm no longer a seeker. And it's not like I found the answer. No, I'm pretty sure there is no answer. And the question is fucking stupid. So, having said that, put the next step forward, do the next right thing, or not. So I worked the steps. I got a sponsor who was enthusiastic, and I was never the kind to get the kind of sponsor like, do this, do that, and do, do, do. It just never, I don't know, it just didn't feel that that was something that I needed. So, but he was also a musician too, so we had some connection, and it was great. And so I did this the fourth step, like it is in the big book, and like on the Joe and Charlie tapes, writing the columns, first one column and then da-da-da-da, and all that kind of stuff. And I have a copy of one. This is one from later. This is one from 2011. So I've done several of them. And then I've done other sort of ones of like a inventory on money. Where do I spend my money? An inventory on time. Where do I spend my time? And those kind of things. At the suggestion of various sponsors that I had. My original sponsor, he eventually went out and got drunk, but I was traveling. Julie was in the Navy, and so we were going here and going there. It was Bermuda, back to Virginia Beach. We were in England for 3 years in Cornwall. It's fucking awesome. And then back to Virginia Beach. I got a job, and I was doing that for a few years and came to Atlanta. So I've been working for the same company for 25, almost 30 years. That never would have happened pre-sobriety. But here's something that's really fucking interesting, and maybe you can relate to this. When I got this job, and it was the first day that I was supposed to show up, and I got there early, and I was 10 years sober at this time, or 9 years sober. And I sat there in the parking lot, and I was like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in there. It's too much. I was having, I don't know whether it's an anxiety attack or a thing like that, where I'm like, it was just weird, and I was just frozen and scared. And I had been sober long enough to know that it's like, well, yeah, this shit happens. Just go ahead and do it anyway. And then eventually I was like, well, who am I going to disappoint? My family, my dad is going to say, what are you fucking stupid? You stupid cocksucker. Well, he actually doesn't use that kind of language, but, so that's me, recreating that reality. But, that was actually a large part of why I went in, and whatever it takes, man, I don't give a shit, but I went in, and boy, am I glad, because again, great job, great company. And here I am many years later, getting close to retirement age. So what did I do in sobriety? I worked the steps, and I did come to believe in a God of some sort. It was sort of, like I said, I was sort of an atheist, agnostic, and seeker. And then I kind of got this sort of, basic God, I would call like a kindergarten God, without any sort of, wouldn't be a man, it wouldn't be a this, like no details, don't care. And but that there was a higher power and a force that was helping me stay sober. So I believe that. And then also a couple weeks in, I had this whirlwind of emotions, and I asked for the compulsion to drink to be removed, because I heard about people doing that. And within a couple of weeks, it's sort of like it seemed like that was the case. That was what was going on. Now, to me, it's a matter of attribution. I attributed it at that time that my higher power was doing that for me. I don't attribute it to that anymore. I attribute it to something more like, well, first of all, I don't fucking know. And second of all, it kind of doesn't matter. But if I was to propose a theory, I would say that within myself, it was really sort of shit or get off the pot time. And so when I decided to continue as I went on, the pendulum had swung, and I was at a point where I no longer wanted to drink. And so that was pretty cool. I've had a lot of coincidences, which could be called spiritual experiences, but I don't believe in spiritual experiences aside from me having a conversation with you, and it's fucking awesome. That's a spiritual experience as far as I'm concerned. But beyond that, supernatural, not my thing anymore. Now, it was for a while. And part of my seeking, I went into this born again Christian mode, and that was for about 15 years. And it was kind of a weird thing, because I then thought like the AA God was like a kindergarten God, and now I got Jesus, and et cetera, et cetera. And I was enthusiastic about it because I felt a feeling. I felt a feeling. And it's amazing how, whether it's accepting Jesus in your heart or being a whirling dervish or dancing in a Grateful Dead show, if you're down and you're ready for something new and different and all that, and you're at that point and something there, and enough of the blocks fall into place where, boom, that's what happened to me. It was a matter of logic. And because I had been picked up hitchhiking by born again Christians before, and they spouted out John 3:16. I'm like, what the fuck? Our people talk to the CEO. I was brought up Jewish. We don't need middle management, then I thought, well, either a third of the planet is batshit crazy, or maybe they got something. I don't fucking know. And so I did Paschal's Wager, which is, if it's true and I don't do it, I'm gonna burn in the pit of hell. If it's true and I do go for it, then I'm like golden. And if it's not true, it doesn't matter either way. So might as well go for it just to see. And one thing that I found with the kind of version of Christianity that I did is that it changes you as a person. And I became really not me for like fucking 15 years. I really became not me. I became sort of an authoritarian. The man is the head of the household and all that shit, the societal trappings wrapped up in that package. And I think it fucked the kids. I think it did, because there's sin and there's this and that and da 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 da. And so all I did was feel guilty all the time for beating off too much or doing this or doing that or whatever. And that's just a fucking load of horse shit, in my opinion. In other words, I don't do that anymore. So I deconverted after a period of time. In sobriety, once I got into, service in the church, it was sort of like not hitting a whole lot of AA meetings for maybe about 10 years. I was, 10, 15 years sober, I guess, 10, 12, I don't know, something like that. And then I had the kids, soccer, scouts, church band, doing all that kind of thing. So I figure I'm ticking the service box. And it was okay. Then I I don't know. I kind of turned into a little bit of a dick. And there's probably a few reasons for that. I started going back to meetings, and it was weird. I felt like a newcomer again. And then I felt weird because I didn't want people to think I was a newcomer and all that kind of stuff, So what I did to humble myself was pick a dude with like a shit ton less sobriety than me. I think he had 3 years and I had probably 15 or something by then. And because he had what he wanted. And he had lost a child, a baby, and we almost lost Zach with some fucking fever and stuff within the first couple of weeks. So his childhood was pretty rough with some illnesses and stuff like that. And so I reacquainted myself, but I wasn't going too often because I kind of didn't need to, as far as drinking was concerned, that wasn't going to happen. Moving down to Atlanta, at 20 years sober, my daughter Rachel killed herself. And there was mental illness. It was just at the beginning of being diagnosed. And I never thought that kind of shit would happen to me. I mean, things were pretty fucking good. But it did happen. And I went through this grief process, as you do. And I thought there must be some support groups, about this kind of a thing. And there is survivors of suicide. And there's the Compassionate Friends for folks who've lost a child in any way. And got hooked up with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which I think is just an American and maybe Canadian. I was looking to see if it was in the UK or Ireland, and I didn't see anything like it. Well, I think there's stuff like it, but it's not there. Anyway, learned about mental illness and kind of, a little too late, but it explained a lot of things and it helped with the healing process. And in those things, I did what we do here, which is I learned from the people who went through it. And then as time went on, I got more comfortable with it, if you can say that. And then I was able to help other people too. And that's what we do here. It's the kinship of common suffering. And as far as I'm concerned, alcoholism and drug addiction is just one of my things. It's the human condition that I'm suffering from, and all of us. And so different stripes, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, eating, that's all part of dealing with this thing. 'Cause A, nobody fucking asked for it. I didn't ask for it. I did not sign up for this. And I remember, well, one of my favorite comedians, Marc Maron, this came up the other day in a discussion, but his thing is he wakes up in the morning, he's like, oh fuck, this again? Okay, I'll do the thing. I'll do the thing, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I feel like that most of the time. I feel like that most of the time. And it's not a problem. I used to think it was a problem, but what I figured out is that I'm wired differently than other people, you know? So the neurodivergence meetings that popped up in the last few years have been very helpful. I've learned a whole lot about, being wired differently. And, as far as I'm concerned, everything is wiring and chemicals. The rest of it is just, window curtains. And call it what you will, put as much, into it as you will. I'm not into it, but I love that other people do, because if everyone was like me, we'd all be fucked. So, at 30 years sober, got divorced, and that was interesting. I wasn't looking for that. I was thought I was kind of happy, but I really wasn't happy, and and I think that it was that, well, we both, it has to do with communication. And because neither of us are type A personalities, it was sort of like you have a little something, but you decide, it's not really worth bringing up. And then you get a shit ton of those going and you're in trouble. And that was kind of how it was. We were just so nice to each other, et cetera, that, and I know she wasn't happy because she was looking for something that I was either not willing or able to give. And I don't know what I was fucking looking for, but I just wanted to be who I am. And this whole thing about having a partner, and in the Christian world it was like, we're part of the same flesh and all that kind of codependent, crazy ass bullshit. As I deconverted, it was more like, I want to play music and I want to go out till whenever the fuck I want to go out, because we're married. I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. So, now some people want to nurture a marriage and all that kind of thing. I get it. I don't. It's too much work. So, pandemic comes and, Tusnua and all kinds of secular meetings. I was doing secular here in Atlanta, like the one group. There was a couple, but they sort of closed down. But the one, We Agnostics Atlanta, that's still around. And, then the pandemic happened. And, I think, like a lot of folks, explosion, all kinds of different viewpoints from all over the world. And and it was, I got back into it in the history, and I immersed myself again, refreshed. And it was cool, and partly mainly because it was like I wanted to be able to help people. I wanted to be able to help people. And I'm not exactly sure why. That's a, I'm not sure. But at any rate, I don't think it makes me, it's not like I have a need to do that, but I guess I don't like to see people struggling if there's something that I can help them with. Particularly stuff, like with, I go to meetings, that are traditional in this area. And, I'm the token atheist. We're in the fucking Bible Belt, man. And, every meeting closes with the Lord's Prayer. And if anybody, people have a group conscience to not do it, it's unanimous that you fucking do it. That's how it goes down here. And, and like most of those people do not realize that doesn't happen everywhere. But, what I like to do is I like to talk about how, because I had the good fortune of doing it all these different fucking ways, I mean, I was fucking all over the map, religious, spiritual wise, and all that, being that seeker. And AA worked in every one of those ways, So because people's reality is their reality, even though I don't go for supernatural things, and even though I think that, as far as believing in anything, the burden of proof is on the one who makes the claim. So, I don't have to disprove jack shit. I'm just going along my happy way, and that's all. I've said before that I feel like a dog sniffing the ass of life, and that is true. I just go on to the next interesting thing to me. I try not to hurt people. I try not to be a dick, but I'm just doing what's fucking interesting to me. That's all I'm doing. And inevitably, I do, bump into people, especially people that live with me, but people that are close to me, family members, and all that kind of thing. Yeah. It happens. But what are my lessons? What I'm going to finish this off with what's going on now and stuff like that. Well, Julie's back in the house, and we're really, really best friends. We're good friends, and it's platonic, and we don't want a relationship. And it's figuring that out because there's a lot of fucking muscle memory and a lot of baggage, most of it good, that's there, So, we're doing therapy in order to sort of navigate this because I'm at a loss, but we figure, as you get older, like it's best if you have a companion. And, it's like, well, here we are. Why the fuck not? And so it makes sense. Again, logical. That's the way I operate. I used to think that, AA was this program that was a box that I put my life in. And after a while, it got too confining. And initially, maybe I needed those guardrails, when I first got sober. And but after probably 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, it was holding me back, And belief in a higher power, became an obstacle, And so now I'm recovering from a human condition, and one of the streams is alcoholism. And I have a bunch of tools and self-help books and this, that, and the other, and therapy, and hearing a whole bunch of shit from all you folks. I had a couple sponsors for a while, and I had them probably up until maybe 25 years in, but I haven't had a sponsor for a while. And I don't need one because I know how this shit works, but I do need to get other perspectives. So, I participate in what a friend of mine calls a cabinet, which is like three or four of us together. We meet a couple times a week. Maybe we do a book study, we do a check-in, maybe a meditation, and we support each other. And we, it's not like we call each other on our shit. Because I mean, I've been sober, a long time, like I said, and there's really not a whole lot of shit. My mind is not a bad neighborhood. It's fucking pretty awesome. So, but I have blind spots, I have blind spots, and that's what I need to do. I need to keep beginner's mind. I need to keep an open mind. I need to be willing to learn. I sure as shit do not need to be right. I'm looking at that and saying, why the fuck did I need to do that for so goddamn long? What does it do? It does nothing for me. I do not need to be right. As a matter of fact, I'd rather other people be right than they're happy and they fucking leave me alone. So I'll finish with this. I don't do toxic people. My dad is toxic. After my mom died earlier in the year, I thought, hey, maybe I can help him, And so we were talking pretty frequently, after he reamed my ass for not calling him for a while and then apologized. God bless him. And, but, yeah, the toxicity, it comes back. And then also my uncle, who I love, I mean, we go and visit him in Savannah. It's awesome. And he wants to be, because he's his fucking brother. But even him, everybody has to take months and months and not, talk to this dude. So whatever. And I have a three shits philosophy, and I'll finish with this. I don't give a shit. I'm not doing them in order. Doesn't matter. I don't believe shit. And I don't know shit. I don't need to know shit. The essence of the Serenity Prayer has been pretty much my go-to for all these years. There's shit that I can't control. There's shit that I can. The only words I would change, aside from, God grant me, is the courage to change the things I can. I would add, if I fucking want to, because if I don't want to, I ain't gonna do it, and I don't have to. You ain't gonna make me. So fuck you. And the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah, fair enough. I'm happy to be here, Jan. Thank you for asking me to do this thing. Hopefully, it was slightly different, but I know it wasn't. And yeah, it's where I'm at now. I love you all. And as Mark says, namaste out of trouble. That is all.